Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In the Packers Saints today, we've got Ryan Wood coming up about 6:18 this morning. PackersNews.com. Get the latest on Kenny Clark and Devontae Adams there. Which guy may be more important for you on Friday? We'll go inside the locker room plenty. I'm going to try. We would like to hear from Sean Payton today, too. It'd be nice to hear from the opposing coach. So we'll have some Sean Payton to bring you guys throughout the show as well, plus Rodgers and LaFleur and the whole crew in Green Bay. That coming up. We'll look down at the Saints. Mike Tillier joins us from Saints Radio 715. Nick Kostos, You Better You Bet, on the radio.com podcast. He'll join us around 8, our picks in the 9 o'clock hour. So it's Football Friday in every sense of the word. There was a game last night. There were about three games last night that had most of our attention, and that's what we're going to take a look at. The Dolphins beat the Jaguars 31-13, and it's the NFL. So I was loving the game last night. I didn't have any fantasy implications at all, and I was still, like, watching this game over the Pennant Race Brewers and the Western Conference Finals because I love football so much. I didn't care who it is. So I was watching that game. The Conference Finals, the Nuggets, you could say they have the Lakers right where they want them. They are down 3-1 again. Lakers, before we get to the Brewers, dude, that is flop central. And then Anthony Davis goes down and his ankle hurts and you think he's done and he's right back up. I mean, for a big guy, he is just trying to find his way on the ground. It's, I don't know, man. If it's Lakers heat, and I despise the heat.
I'm rooting for the heat.
I might go for the heat.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying watching the Heat play basketball. I compared them to that Detroit Pistons team with Ben Wallace and Tayshaun Prince and Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton. That's kind of what they remind me of, like the ultimate underdog team. And they're going to go up against the Lakers, so it'll be fitting.
Well, but again, Nuggets are down 3-1.
Yeah, that's where they want to be.
They've come back from this twice already in the bubble.
Yeah, they're not going to do that against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, especially when they're getting every single call. I think that the Lakers are going to wrap it up in the next one. Although, who knows, man? I've been wrong on the NBA playoffs thus far. But, yeah, last night was a perfect sports night. I did watch that game. I was rooting for – I'm really falling in love with this Nuggets team, so I would love to see them upset the Lakers. I love Jamal Murray's game so much. I like Jokic. I think they're just one piece away. They need to try to get rid of Gary Harris. You know, maybe package some of these other guys.
Well, their piece could be Will Barton, who's been hurt.
Yeah, Will Barton would help. Yeah,
the entire playoffs.
Yeah, he hasn't made an appearance. That would help them out a little bit. Maybe even I would even maybe throw him in a package. There's not a whole lot out there in free agency. You know, I know that every team reportedly is looking to trade for Chris Paul, but if I'm a team like the Nuggets, and I don't know how this would be with spacing because you already have Jokic, but I don't know. There's a couple guys that I would probably be looking at, but Chris Paul, probably not him. And then you got the Thursday night football game. That was the worst football game I've ever watched in my life. I was excited for it, too.
Why?
And I was trying to defend it. Well, just because I played a couple over props. And, you know, that was like nobody went over on their props last night. Only Devontae Parker, I believe, is the only player that actually went over on their props. I mean, they couldn't throw the ball down the field.
Miles Gaskin, 66 yards rushing. James Robinson, 46 yards rushing. You had some...
So running backs, maybe.
You had some touchdowns.
Yeah.
But the receivers, Your boy Preston Williams had 7 yards.
He had a touchdown catch. Yeah, I liked that prop of him over 44 yards, and he only had
Mike Gesicki had one catch for 15 yards.
Man, I'm losing my mind this morning. I was going to say Gallinari. That's who I think that the Nuggets and the Bucks should go
after.
Well,
he's like the one free agent out there.
That's the only name. Okay, so now I got past that. It was a rough day yesterday for me. Not really, but kind of. I wanted to sneak in a nap. But my kid had to take a test, so we're doing the homeschooling thing, and he had to take a math test, and I'm not supposed to help him. I probably shouldn't even be saying this on air in case one of his teachers are listening or something, but he had 50 questions. He is 7 years old, a 50-question math test that I had to help him with, and I'm also not supposed to help him. I'm just supposed to click after he gets the answer, but man, he was like asking me for the answers and whatnot. So it was a long day yesterday, so the sports night. I wanted it to be a little bit better because I was rooting for the Nuggets, but I did bet on the Lakers, so that was nice. I did have the Dolphins, +3, but then I lost both of my prop bets because neither quarterback was throwing the ball down the field. It was just dink and dunk, and both quarterbacks, and Ryan Fitzpatrick all of a sudden became Lamar Jackson out there last night. He was running with it, scrambling, getting out of the pocket. So hopefully the football a little bit better this weekend than what we saw last night. That was a trash game, but I was excited for it, and I'll take football over no football any night.
And then there was the Brewers.
Yeah.
Who
stink. Let's just be honest, man. That was
so it's a 5-game set against the Cardinals. You think you have to win 3. You probably have to win 4, which would mean now you have to win out because they lost last night 4-2. And what do the Brewers do better than any team in the league? Give you false hope in the ninth inning when they're trailing. And they did that last night, and they put a couple of guys on, and it's 4-2. There's two outs.
Yeah.
It was Sogard and then, you know, Vogelbach, and these guys are doing what they can do. But it's 4-2, two outs, and who's at the plate? Christian Yelich. And I think we were hoping for a moment. Down 4-2, Yelich at the plate. We're hoping for a moment, couple of guys on. But we knew. We knew he would strike out, and he struck out. Now, Christian Yelich has avoided a lot of criticism for this season. He has not been good.
No.
He is Christian Yelich. You're not going to sit him out now. There's 4 games left.
You can't now.
But he has not been good this season. .205 batting average. There's been a lot of moments last night, like last night, where he's been up in a big spot. If you had old Christian MVP Yelich, you take the lead. But I think most of us knew it was not going to be last night.
Isn't that sad, though? Like, I don't feel... Remember, I mean, man, the last 3 years, anytime Yelich comes up in that situation...
Especially against the Cardinals.
It's like a video game, though. Like, playing on all rookie mode. Because
right.
He's just owned the Cardinals. Exactly. And last night, you know, and maybe I did have a little scratch on the Brewers, who I also threw a couple bucks with a buddy that they would end up making the postseason. I just needed something to root for this weekend because I have no faith in my Phillies sweeping for my 31 wins. But I just didn't feel comfortable. Yelich comes up to the plate, and I'm almost like, man, I almost wish that this was anybody else right now.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Yelich has not performed well, and especially in these big spots. And I'm trying to think. I'm going to have to look at his game-by-game log because I don't – when's the last time he hit a home run? Oh, I guess he hit one over the Royals.
Yeah, that was number 11.
In the Royals series. He has on the season 11 home runs, just 3 in the month of September, and we just got a few days to go. So, yeah, it's been disappointing for him. And
yeah.
I think, you know, I don't want to say he's escaped a lot of criticism because we know how good he is, and I think this fluky season, I think we're chalking it up to that. If it gets to next season and it is a full season and it happens again for if he has the month that he had this month in September that he has in April, then we're going to be concerned.
He struck out 11 times this week.
Yeah, that is bad.
That is really
bad.
Yeah,
the strikeouts are happening with a great frequency.
In September, he struck out 34 times, man. He has 5 RBI in September, 3 home runs this month, 2 doubles, 16 hits.
That's not Yelich numbers.
No.
And so he was at the plate last night. He had a chance to give the Brewers a lead and keep that game extended, and it did not happen. There were some other things in there in this game last night. Brewers were trying to rally in the ninth. They did not pinch run for Dan Vogelbach, which was confusing. Corbin Burnes had a rough outing. he just couldn't seem to get it going, and he was yanked before the fourth inning, or before the fifth inning. He went 3 2/3, so he was yanked, and he might be hurt.
Yeah, he's got a back issue. The Brewers so if they have do so
make
the
issues. If they do make the playoffs, he might not be able to go right away or at all. So now that's some more concern there. Just, I think a lot of people, I think we're trying with this team. I think we want them to get in, obviously. I think the wild card week is going to be fun. If your team's in it, it's a best of three, and there's baseball all day, every day for 4 days, from Tuesday to Friday next week. Baseball, baseball, baseball. It's going to be on TV all the time. It's going to be fun.
Are you going to watch if the Brewers do not get in?
Yeah, I'll certainly watch, but not. Well, see, one of the things I like about the postseason is the fans on their feet the entirety of the game, and that's not going to be there. I'll certainly watch, but I may, you know, I may watch with the same.
Like, who's good?
The Rays and the Dodgers?
Yeah, that's about it, right? I mean, I was so
Twins and White Sox, maybe the A's.
I almost, man, it pains me. Like, am I almost kind of rooting for the White Sox? I really enjoy watching the White Sox play baseball. The Cubs are a disaster. Look at the Central. The Cubs are terrible. They are not a good baseball team. They beat up on bad teams early in the season, and now they are awful. I don't even remember the last time they scored a run. They got beat by a touchdown yesterday and an extra point to the Pirates again. The Reds, so inconsistent. The Cardinals, I hate them. I hate Yadi Molina. Yesterday he gets his 2,000th hit. It made me sick. I can't stand that guy. And I was, like I said, I was really high on the Yankees. They lose yesterday again to Toronto. They just can't stay healthy. Like, I really do like Aaron Judge. Is he ever going to be healthy? Is he ever going to play half of a season? Probably not. I don't know. That's just my problem with the postseason this year, man, is it's like, who's good? The Dodgers and who?
Well, I'm going to root for the one seed in the American League.
The Rays?
They're my AL team.
Yeah, but the problem with the Rays, man, I always root for them in the A's in the postseason. And they always let me down.
Well, yeah.
The fact that the Rays go to the postseason in the A's, I mean, man,
The Rays won the AL East.
I know.
Like the last 3 years, you can't name two Tampa Bay Rays, and they're constantly winning this division. Mm-hmm. But then come the playoffs.
They own the Yankees, that's why.
Yeah, but then come the playoffs. I might also root for the Marlins.
Yeah, why not? They won yesterday. They beat the Braves.
And I might root for the Padres.
The Miami Marlins are 29-28, and the Brewers can't even just get a game above 500. You know? Like, Look at the Marlins lineup, man. You got Zeus, you got Brinson, and these guys are a game above 500, 29-28, 18-13 on the road.
The Brewers are a game out of the eighth seed.
Yeah.
So that's where the Giants reside at 28-28.
The Giants.
Yeah, the Giants are not that good.
Weren't they predicted in – see – It's tough to go back and look at the original projections from Pecota because that was obviously based off a 162-game season. But they had the Reds winning the division. I think they had the Giants finishing, like, dead last. And here they are. What a weird year.
Yeah, it's been a weird year, and it seems like it's going to keep getting weirder. The Brewers right now do have a doubleheader today. Starts around 4 o'clock. So if they sweep the doubleheader,
I'm actually excited for that, too.
They might be right back into this thing, but we'll see. We'll have more on that throughout the day. But primarily, this is a football Friday. We got a big one Sunday night. Packers and Saints going down to New Orleans. There will be some fans there now. Details on that. And when I say some, I mean some. We'll have that for you right after 6:30. We're going to talk with Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, and the Green Bay Press Gazette. Break this one down and get the latest updates on Devontae Adams and Kenny Clark. Good news on at least one of those guys. It all comes up next. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on The Fan.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Good morning. Your predictions, your calls. We'll get to that in a little bit. Packers at the Saints, Week 3. Again, some fans in attendance. We'll tell you just how many and why it really is some. I mean, there's going to be like five fans. We'll explain that in a second, but it's not going to be a lot. Some good news from practice yesterday. Devontae Adams is not the good news. He did not practice with the hamstring injury. And then on the Saints side, Michael Thomas did not practice with his ankle. So maybe the Packers and Saints call each other and say, yeah, let's just sit them both out, friendly gentleman's wager. I don't think Michael Thomas has any shot of playing based on what we first learned about the injury a couple weeks ago. Devontae, I'm surprised he did not practice. I am surprised about that. But Kenny Clark did. Limited participation, the Packers are saying. Did see some of the drills. He was moving. He's got a groin injury, but he was moving just fine. So maybe he is on track to play as we bring in Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com and the Green Bay Press Gazette. And something we were talking about a little bit yesterday is if we could pick one of the two, which one is more needed to play in this game? Would you say Kenny Clark is more needed for the Packers in this game, or would you say, Ryan, that it's Devontae Adams?
I'd say Devontae Adams. You know, Kenny Clark is obviously going to be hugely important if he could play against Alvin Kamara and that Saints offense, but the gap between Devontae Adams and everyone else at receiver is massive. And what you saw, even when Devontae Adams only gets three catches on three targets for 36 yards, he's a game changer because he's getting constant double teams like he did this past Sunday against Detroit. Or he's not getting constant double teams and he's catching 14 passes in a game and tying Don Hudson's single game record that was set in 1942. So no matter whether he's getting the ball or not, he tilts the field on offense in a way that very few players in the league right now do. So, you know, it's hard to not say Devontae Adams. That said, I mean, Kenny Clark is the $70 million nose guard. So yeah, he's in the gap between him and everyone else on the defensive line is equally huge. So, I mean, both those guys are core fundamental players on this roster.
I think where I'm at with this game is, you know, without Devontae, we saw what Darren Waller did, and Rodgers was asked about that this week, the 12 catches, he had a touchdown, the tight end for the Raiders. Without Devontae, Packers don't have anyone that can do that. But then the thing that I've been worried about the most with this team is the run defense. Lions on that first drive were able to run it down the field on the Packers, and then they kind of got away from it. But now you bring in Alvin Kamara and even Latavius Murray. I'm worried about the run defense. And with no Kenny Clark, you know, Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster, Kingsley Keke, Montrevious Adams was out again with a toe. Is that toe still bothering him or at least limited? I'm worried that the run defense is going to be in for even a tougher challenge than they face. You know, Dalvin Cook, the Lions trio. This is going to be a big time challenge, obviously, Mr. Obvious saying that to you.
Well, I don't think there's any question that through two games, the deficiency in an otherwise extremely hot start by this Packers team has been the defensive line. And that's where they need to get better. And that's not really encouraging considering that's where they left off last season. So that really hasn't changed. With that said, if you're looking at just this week, I think there's a very sound argument to be made that you have Devontae Adams, your offense, especially on that fast track in New Orleans without any fans or limited fans in the stands, but certainly not a full throat Superdome that you expect on a Sunday night, nothing like that. There's a very sound argument to be made that the offense can simply outscore the Saints with the way that they're playing right now. And effectively, the offense is what might take the Saints running game out of the game, because if you've got to throw to catch up the way that these past two teams have, you don't run the ball as much. I mean, Dalvin Cook didn't get as many carries, especially as the game progressed. The Lions started off running the ball very well, and then they were down three touchdowns. So, you know, it's something where if they can outscore, and they need Devontae Adams to do that, they can outscore the Saints. That diminishes the Saints' running game.
Ryan Woods joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today, simply local lending since 1935. We talked about this with Aaron Jones. The longer you go without paying him, the more expensive he's going to be. And you can make the same case for David Bakhtiari. And I've been very surprised. His hits on the big show, he does them weekly, Tuesday, 4:35. We were talking about maybe last week, the Chiefs, how they had like $100,000 of cap room and they figured it out. And I was pretty surprised to hear David Bakhtiari say that same thing. I mean, he's not being shy about, if the Packers want me, they can figure out a way to pay me. And the longer these guys go without getting this new deal, the more of a story and a distraction it might be. But then there's also, you know, we talked to our Mike Clemens. He's speculating maybe they like Elgton Jenkins to move him over there. I don't know, man. It feels like, to me, if they are going to re-sign one of them, they would probably re-sign Jones. They just seem to have a history of letting linemen walk, but I want them to sign both, and I think that Bakhtiari's right. They can figure it out if they want to, but do they want to?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them not re-signing David Bakhtiari, even if it requires a franchise tag. I think that would be very much in play. It would be a colossal mistake for them to not re-sign an all-pro left tackle, and Elgton Jenkins is not an all-pro left tackle. He's barely repped a tackle, and then he did slide over to right tackle in week one and played admirably there, but he's not David Bakhtiari. You've got an aging quarterback, and in a couple years, you've got a rookie quarterback, or effectively a rookie quarterback, a first-time starting quarterback that you're expecting to kind of take over and shoulder the load. In both cases, shutting down the blind side for opposing pass rushes is huge in both situations, and that's what David Bakhtiari does. So, I'd be really surprised. It's really hard for me to see David Bakhtiari in another uniform next year. Been surprised before. I mean, you never know what's going to happen until it does, but it's hard to see. I think for me, and people might roll their eyes at this, but I think there's a lot of merit in, if they have to only pay one. Now, people just, like, they dismiss, like, Kevin King is also coming up in his final year of his contract.
Ryan Horvath says that all the time, man. We forget about him.
I'd pay him over all of them. I do not want to start drafting corners again, man.
Yeah. To me, it's like, okay, you've got a cornerback who is a very, very good starter. 5 interceptions last year. Showed he could stay healthy. Played 15 games. Or a running back who is a dynamic playmaker. I mean, not just as a runner, as a receiver, does everything on the field, but is a running back in a league that running backs do very rarely get paid. One player, Kevin King, has no obvious replacement on this roster. Who is Kevin King's replacement? He doesn't exist on this roster. The other player, a running back, a much lesser valued position, has an obvious replacement on this roster in A.J. Dillon, second-round pick. If you're the Packers, you ought to keep both, because cap manipulation is very real, and cap is not an excuse to not keep both. Both guys are core players to this roster. But if you only keep one, I don't think it's a slam dunk that it's Aaron Jones, and that's nothing against Aaron Jones. He's a Pro Bowl running back, but he's a running back. And cornerbacks in this league are worth their weight in gold. So, I think that's an interesting decision long term, which play do the Packers make? Obviously the right call, it'd be to figure it out and resign both of them.
Ryan, your prediction, or at least where you're leaning for Sunday, I think, the first 3 weeks, Vikings did not have Danielle Hunter. I'll say that in proper English. They did not have Danielle Hunter. I like the Packers in that game. Lions did not have Kenny Golladay. Help me like the Packers in that game. I don't think Michael Thomas is going to play this weekend, and I'm very low on Drew Brees and his ability to push the ball down the field. I like the Packers Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do too. I thought a lot earlier this week about, to take the Packers in New Orleans, and I know it's not full Superdome effect on a Sunday night, but that in itself could swing this game. But to pick the Packers in New Orleans, regardless, you have to believe a few things, right? You have to believe that 13-3 was real. You have to believe that these first two games was real, and that this team, this Packers team, that was 13-3 last year and just totally crushed two divisional opponents at the gates, is one of the best teams in the NFC. You have to believe that they're legit, right? You also have to believe on the other side that Drew Brees is 41 years old, and that he's playing like it, and that at this age, once you start playing your age, it usually doesn't get better from there. It's very rare that a quarterback at this stage in his career shows his age and then reverses that. And so for me, those two things. One, I'm going to go in on the Packers. I had them 11-5 early this season, at the start of the season. That was my record for them. I had them losing game one against Minnesota. So that gives you an idea. I thought they would be good. They might actually be better than I thought. And then Drew Brees, he's averaging 6.9 yards per pass. He's got a 93.5 passer rating through two games, and he has looked that. I think the Packers go down a win. I don't know what a score is, but I think the Packers go down a win, start 3-0, and this is a team that suddenly, with a hot start and the teeth of their schedule was early in the season, they're shaping up that they could win a lot of games.
It's going to be fun. Hopefully, it'll be interesting for sure. We'll talk about it on Monday morning. Woody, appreciate it. We will talk to you then.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette, and then follow him, BY by Ryan Wood, on Twitter. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. Want to remind you about Window Select and the incredible deals that they've got right now at this location, based out of Menominee Falls, proudly serving Wisconsin homeowners for many, many years. They've got these guys, men and women, that have been working in these shops trying to come up with the perfect window, really. A window that's high quality, durable, long lasting. A window that's also energy efficient. So especially as you get into the winter here, you know, I've seen people like try to, what do you use those, like meat curtain sheets to try to keep the air in? New windows is going to go a long way to that. And if you're looking at trying to keep the warm air in your home, or if you're looking to upgrade your home, maybe the look of your home needs a refresh. Maybe you're looking to eventually sell it one day. Maybe you just, the windows are old and you've been in a house a long time. You want to spruce it up. You want to have a more inviting feel. Whatever reason you need new windows, siding, and doors, they'll do it all for you at Window Select. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, WindowSelect.com. So they have a lot of great incentives, too. The products are great, high quality, energy efficient, all backed with a double lifetime warranty. But the urgency could be there too for you guys because they have so many good deals. Buy one, get one on windows. Buy one, get one on their products. Buy one, get one free. No payments for a full 12 months once you get it installed, which this week, right now, this week, free installation when you set up with them. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Check it all out, WindowSelect.com. Again, WindowSelect.com.
Milwaukee is all in. Oak Creek is all in. Brookfield is all in. West Allis is all in. All around Wisconsin. Everywhere you look. Everywhere you go, Wisconsin's all in. Wearing masks, washing hands, and keeping gatherings small are ways we can all help each other. Be a good neighbor. Show us how you're all in using hashtag WeAreAllIn. Learn more at WeAreAllInWI.com.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Saints on Sunday Night Football. The last time Green Bay won a game inside the Superdome was 1997 and Super Bowl 31. The Saints have had a slow start on offense and are coming off a disappointing loss to the Raiders on Monday Night Football. Head coach Sean Payton.
Look, we're 1-1 right now. It's that critical time early in the year where we need to make the corrections so that we have the success that we're looking to have as the season moves forward.
Now, despite being 2-0, the Packers defense gave up early points to both the Vikings and the Lions. Green Bay linebacker Christian Kirksey.
For example, just the Lions game, you know, we just wasn't, you know, just focused. I think that, you know, we were just kind of all over the place. And, you know, we came together on the sideline. We regrouped. And we made sure that we play Green Bay football.
The Packers will be on lockdown in the team hotel in New Orleans before the game. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
We brought some cornhole boards and had a little cornhole tournament and just good team bonding.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's called Bags, Matt LaFleur. It's called Bags.
When you looked at the calendar and you knew you had this game in New Orleans, you thought that might help a little bit just relative to the crowd noise. But, man, each week now when you're playing in the conditions that we're playing at currently, defenses have to really be on point with the cadence and particularly Aaron's because, you know, on the road at Minnesota, home versus Detroit, on the road at New Orleans, you know, we're going to get 5, 6, 7 of those classic hard counts.
That's COVID survivor Sean Payton, who went to a horse race with symptoms back in March.
Do you want me to name drop Sean Payton, Naperville Central grad, or no?
I don't want you to bring it up.
Okay.
No, keep that one close to the vest.
Okay.
Sean Payton talking about the home field advantage that they thought they would have. You know, you look at the schedule, and when you win-lost this thing back in April or whenever it came out, you think, all right, well, there'll be full stadiums by then. Everything will go back to normal. That's obviously not the case. But the Saints were going to try to have fans. And then the governor stepped in and said, this is not happening. You cannot have fans. The Saints have made an agreement. They aren't selling tickets, but they will have fans. A total of 750 fans will be in attendance. So do you put them like socially distanced, but kind of in one section so they make some noise? Like, do you strategically sit them in the end zone? Well, or do you just have them all over the place?
So it's 750 family members,
It's
right?
Family members of the players, coaches, and staff.
Yeah, I think they get field-level seating, and I think it's right behind the bench. Because what they did week one, they were home at week one.
You got to be strategic. You got to at least put them in the end zone, and then when the Packers switch sides, they all walk to the other end zone.
And they may. So
come on.
Week two, they were on the road in Las Vegas, no fans. But week one, when they were at home, they actually had some inactive players, and they formed a cheering section. I don't know if you saw that, because they didn't really show it on the broadcast on Red Zone Channel. But when I went back and watched those condensed versions, I saw they like really quickly showed a shot, and it was all their inactive players acting as fans.
Kind of
kind of like what we wanted with WWE to do in wrestling, have wrestlers that were inactive or not wrestling to go and jump in the crowd, and then they ended up taking our idea. Yeah, the Saints actually did that with their inactive players. Now they got family members. But is it going to be – because even like – okay, so we were watching those college football games last weekend, and even if it's just not even alumni, even if it's just family members – of these kids out there, like even if it's 800 or 900 fans in attendance, it just makes a huge difference, I think.
Well, it's nice to play in front of somebody.
Right, but I hated, you know what's really weird is you go back and you watch the highlights of week two, Packers-Lions, seeing Lambeau Field that empty.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. It feels like you're watching like a 7-on-7 spring game scrimmage. You don't, when the cameras just focus on the action on the field, you don't really notice anything.
No.
But those weird shots where you see like the 50-yard line, you see the entire stadium, and it's just so eerie and creepy. But so I'll take this. 750 family members behind the bench. I'll take it, man. I'll take it. It was much better in college, I'll say that, with fans in attendance, even limited fans, like at Notre Dame last week.
Well, again, safety is the priority.
Well, yeah, you could socially distance.
But now that you've got the 750 fans there, I mean, the Saints would be foolish not to try to gain some advantage out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because what Rodgers has been doing, at least in the one road game they've played, he's used his cadence, and he got the Minnesota Vikings in their stadium to jump off sides three times, and Sean Payton is going to have to be aware of that coming up Sunday night.
He's one of the best at it, and I don't know if I can point to one specific thing. Obviously, his voice inflection, he utilizes it well. The other thing is the whole offense gets used to understanding how to finish a play if, in fact, you get someone in the neutral zone. That sometimes that takes time where guys, you know, will kind of stop on a play, but those guys will finish, and he'll look for that aggressive play down the field if he knows he's got someone in the neutral zone.
You know, as we preview this Packers-Saints matchup on Sunday night, we're going to do it all day here on a Football Friday. Don't forget the Wendy's Big Show 2 to 6 today. We'll do a great job of it with the two former Packers, our boy Gary Ellerson, our boy Leroy Butler, and let's not forget our other non-Packer playing boy, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. They'll be in at 2 o'clock today. So we'll have this for you, you know, throughout the day. As we look at what Sean Payton had to say, the Packers media and Mike Clemens, our own, he gets to talk to Payton too. Guess what a lot of the questions were about? They were about Taysom Hill.
Oh, no, man. Come on. Let me answer that. Yeah, man, there are a lot of Taysom Hill questions.
I'm not going to play all the Taysom Hill answers.
No, you are. You know what? Don't worry. I did it on the pregame.
You did?
Oh, I did, yeah. I was like, what is the fascination with Taysom Hill, man?
I don't think Taysom Hill plays that big of a role Sunday night.
I don't think you really have to, like, your whole game plan defensively isn't around Taysom Hill. Although, man, Drew Brees has thrown has completed two balls over 20 yards. He's 2 for 8 and passes over 20 yards. So maybe we do see some more Taysom Hill. Maybe we see Jameis Winston. Who knows?
Well, that's why they, I think, have been using Taysom Hill a little more, because Drew Brees, the thought with Taysom Hill when we let him go, the Packers, I was upset about that once you start to see how the Saints were using him. And they were using him in a bunch of different ways. And they're using him even more now. When they used him as like a wildcat or a tight end, that was one thing.
Now they're using him as a fullback in goal line situations.
Yeah. Then they started using him after the wildcat stuff. They started using him on punt coverage, and that was another thing. But then right, last week, Monday, they used him as a fullback on the goal line in a fullback dive. I mean, they're using him
everywhere,
in every single way that you can offensively, except for the offensive line. And who knows? He may snap the ball to Drew Brees on Sunday night.
Well, I used to hate when they would use him, because Drew Brees would get cooking and complete 3 or 4 passes in a row, and then here would come Taysom Hill. And why? Why? Why are you taking Drew Brees off the field? But now, right, I feel like they're almost trying to hide Drew Brees. Like, I feel like now Sean Payton is going to have to treat Drew Brees the way that Matt Nagy treats Mitchell Trubisky. Because Nagy does not trust Trubisky whatsoever. You could tell these last 2 weeks. He can't stand him, but he's got to go back to him because Ryan Pace drafted him. You know, it's similar to, now, on the other hand, like Sean McVay. I think remember when Sean McVay was like, everybody was looking for the next Sean McVay, and then last year everybody was like, was Sean McVay overrated after they had the Super Bowl hangover? Well, no, the team was all beat up. But I think this is his best coaching job, and it's because there's no fans like in attendance. He is literally walking Jared Goff up to the line of scrimmage and just giving him the plays and calling out all the audibles. He's literally doing his best coaching job yet. But with Drew Brees, I feel like that's what Sean Payton is going to almost try to do here, is they're going to run the football a lot.
Especially if they don't have Michael Thomas.
A lot of gadget plays. You're going to see Kamara used a lot of different ways. Running the football, obviously, split out wide. You're going to see Taysom Hill. And they're going to try to get the ball. I mean, look at their receivers without Michael Thomas, right? If Michael Thomas is unable to go. And I don't think he's playing in this game. I mean, it's an ankle sprain. It's weird with the injury report this year, because they said originally like 5 to 6 weeks it could potentially be that Michael Thomas would be out. Now we're still doing the thing where we're talking about him potentially playing on Sunday, but he hasn't practiced. He wasn't on the practice field yesterday again. I mean, is Emmanuel Sanders going to be the receiver you have to look out for? I could already tell you this. I know who's going to kill the Packers on Sunday, and I think you do too. Jared Cook's going to grab 7 balls, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Oh, he's going to kill him across
the middle. He barely used him in week 2.
Yeah, do you feel any more comfortable this season about the Packers covering the middle of the field or tight ends? Because I don't. I don't feel in, you know, Blake Martinez, I want to just throw this out there. Who leads the league in tackles right now?
Blake Martinez?
Yeah. Are we going to do the thing where we blame every, we can't anymore, where you can't blame everything on Blake Martinez? And I like Christian Kirksey, don't get me wrong.
Kirksey's close. He's got a lot of tackles.
Yeah. But I don't feel any more comfortable about stopping the run, especially if Kenny Clark is unable to go, and I'm glad that he was on the practice field, but I don't know if he plays on Sunday. And I still am concerned about tight ends, man, beating you across the middle. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's Travis Kelce or, you know, some guy that you'd never heard of. It could be Jason Witten, who's 55 years old, and he'll beat you across the middle and grab 6 balls against this Packers defense. So I think that's who I'm concerned with most, is actually Jared Cook. And he's getting old. Like, yeah, we overrate Jared Cook a little bit. It'd be nice to have Jared Cook. Well, even when we had Jared Cook, the Packers never used him. You know, he had one great catch against Dallas that we continue to talk about because it was in a playoff game and it was a hell of a grab. But the Packers didn't really know how to use him when they had him here.
414-799-1250. We're going to hear from our coach now, Matt LaFleur, and his thoughts on Drew Brees, because I'm not afraid of Drew Brees. And I don't want to do the thing where, like, I downplay a guy all week and then he kills us on Sunday night. I don't think he's going to kill us. So I'm very confident and comfortable talking in an unafraid way about Drew Brees. I don't think Drew Brees is Drew Brees anymore. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur, and we want to know from you guys, Drew Brees, does he scare you? Do you think of 350 yards, 4 touchdowns when you think of this Drew Brees? You can chime in with your predictions, 414-799-1250. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, Matt LaFleur, all 3 of us boys hanging out next.
Well, the ball comes out extremely fast. I feel like they've always had a great run game. They've got playmakers all over the field. Kamara, you know, we'll see what's going on with Michael Thomas. But Jared Cook, there's a lot of playmakers there. Obviously, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think their offensive line is pretty darn good as well.
That's Matt LaFleur giving praise to the New Orleans Saints. He did not mention Drew Brees by name. He mentioned Jared Cook. He mentioned Michael Thomas, who may not play, Kamara. Did not mention Drew Brees there. We've got bigger fish to fry with Matt LaFleur, however. I tell you, there's something about him that I don't trust this guy. I like him as a coach. How can you not? He's 15-3. But there's something about him I don't trust, and I think I figured out what it was. Matt LaFleur talks about the team bonding activities.
It was nothing too exciting, but no, he brought some cornhole boards and had a little cornhole tournament and just good team bonding.
It's called bags.
Yeah, I call it bags too. I do. But some people do call it cornhole, man. Look at ESPN, the cornhole championship every Saturday morning.
Isn't cornhole like dirtier than bags?
I don't know. I don't really know the difference. I play bags. I know bags, I know horseshoes. Big fan of both. How weird is it that Michael Thomas had to have his MRI in Green Bay? Like, why do all the athletes always come to Green Bay? I get Dr. Robert Anderson's one of the best surgeons out there. But how weird is it that for a mild high ankle sprain, he has to come fly into Green Bay and see Dr. Anderson, who then has to clear him? And I hope for the sake, I mean, I want to see Michael Thomas, Davante Adams, I want to see Clinny Clark. I want them to be fully healthy, too, going into Sunday night. I want to see the best football game possible. But if the Packers team doctor does want to get a little James Woods, he could not clear Michael Thomas. Although then he wouldn't be doing his due diligence as a doctor, and I'm pretty sure that's illegal. But maybe he takes one from
the
team.
Well, be like the Chargers doctor.
And just try to
who has like
somebody?
17 DUIs. He's been fired for malpractice.
Now he's James Woods. You know what I'm talking about, right? Any given Sunday when James Woods plays like the slimy team doctor, that is what he reminds me of. How does a guy with that type of resume still have a job as a team doctor? I thought that was out of The Onion, where I saw the two DUIs and the long arrest record, and he's the team doctor?
I need you to put up a poll. I'm not really focused on the game right now. Matt LaFleur's got me distracted. Cornhole or bags? Okay. Let's do a safe poll on Friday at 105.7 FM The Fan. Cornhole or bags?
Hey, shout out to me for providing content for the rest of the station. I hope that I get some credit, right?
I told you, put down another hour on your timesheet.
That Tyler Hero, man, were we getting killed for that one, though, when we both picked Chris Middleton. You know what? How do we get – and you know what? Shout out to the Big Show for running with that, too, though. And anybody that was, like, destroying the Twitter account for it, Tyler Hero almost won the poll. So how's it a bad question?
No, I think
– we said Chris Middleton.
To defend the brand here, sometimes we'll ask a question just to gauge where people are at. So when the Big Show puts up a topic yesterday, and we did the poll question too, but the Big Show was getting, I mean, just, you guys came after them yesterday, when they said, would you rather have Tyler Hero or Chris Middleton going forward? That's not them saying Tyler Hero's way better than Chris Middleton.
They all said Chris Middleton just like we did.
Yeah.
So LaRoy said the same thing.
You guys are the ones that we want to hear from on that. It's not, so I don't know. I just, ever since I started here, the rap that the station gets for asking questions to you as you would ask anybody. I mean, if you're watching that game and Tyler Hero puts up 37 the other night and you go, man, wouldn't you like to see him as a Buck? And then your buddy goes, I'd rather have him over Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's ask then. Let's ask the poll. So that's just to defend them for a little bit.
Yeah, this is why I hate social media. Remember when, I mean, this is what sports talk radio is, even if it's crazy. You're sitting at the bar with your buddies, right?
Yeah.
Like, man, Aaron Rodgers, I love him, but he's getting a little bit older. I'd rather have Kyler Murray right now. He's young. You get 10 more years of him, and then that becomes a conversation, and that's your opinion, and that's what sports talk used to be, you know, at the water cooler. Now it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Tyler Hero's only a rookie. Yeah, I went with Middleton, but it was a decent poll question, and like 48% of you said Tyler Hero, so it wasn't a dumb one.
It's right, something to talk about, and isn't that what we're all going after on talk?
I thought so, man. Now,
radio?
Right.
Now with cornhole and bags, yeah, I want to get back to this again.
How do I spell cornhole? Because, like, isn't that
cornhole.
Also, couldn't that also be, like, a bad word?
Yeah, that's what I'm... So cornhole, if you think of cornhole and think of...
I'm cornhole.
It's exactly what you think it is.
I always just think of Beavis with a shirt over his head.
I can't believe that ESPN and these stores sell games called cornhole, but then when they want to do testy toss, they call it ladder ball.
What is the correct?
Like, if you're going to call it cornhole, you got to call ladder ball testy toss. Okay? Because that's what that is, too. So let's all get on the same page here. Very divided nation in so many different ways. Let's get on the same page. It is not cornhole. It is bags.
What is the correct name for this party favorite? What is the correct
name? No, just say what. Just say, what do you what? Like? What do you call it? What do you call it? Cornhole and bags.
All right.
Yeah. You don't have to be...
You're not
in grammar school.
I can't wait. You know what? I am, but I'm the teacher, man. I can't wait to hear, damn it, it's football Friday, and you guys are talking about bags or cornhole. Talk more Brewers.
Hey, I only brought it up because football guy Matt LaFleur brought it up. That's why I brought it up.
Matt LaFleur, yeah.
We just use the sports as an angle to push our agenda, and the agenda I have today is that it's bags and not cornhole, and that it's testy toss and not ladder ball.
I am just glad that Matt LaFleur is playing cornhole and not trying to play knockout again, because didn't he tear his ACL and have to get carted around his first year in Green Bay? Remember that, when LaFleur couldn't even walk his first training camp?
Now, I'm not sure the difference between ping pong and table tennis. I'm also not sure the difference between mini golf and putt-putt.
Well, table tennis, you can play against yourself, correct? Isn't that what was, who used to like play by themselves, like where there's a movie and he was like a genius, so he's also, I don't know. I was thinking Bobby Fischer, but that wasn't ping pong. That was, what did Bobby Fischer play?
Chess.
Yes, thank you. Man, my brain's not working.
I was thinking of Amy Fischer.
Is that Joey Buttafuoco?
Yeah. All right.
We're on the show. Let's start over.
Football Friday. We'll start it next. I really like when you guys go off the beaten path. It's kind of fun.
Hey, you see Tiger King? I think she did it. She killed her husband.
Horvat Exotic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.